Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, I'm looking forward to this show as much as I've looked forward to any show I think maybe we've ever done, because I have so much I want to discuss tonight. Funny stuff, interesting stuff. At least it's funny and interesting to me. I don't know if you'll agree, but we're going to talk a ton about Kamala Harris, her press tour, how the interviews are going. We're obviously going to make these topics bigger than just Dome. We're going to talk about times changing. In fact, I'm going to open up the show talking about that. Political candidates, how politicians have changed. We're going to talk about DEI, more along the lines of how we're on the wrong path as a country, the death of everything, Hurricane Milton on the way, Hillary Clinton's an evil communist tyrant, a bunch of emails, some voicemails, and stabbing people over Vienna sausages. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now we are going to discuss Kamala Harris, her failure, the campaign. But let me ask you something first. Do you know who Mr. Beast is? Have you ever heard of Mr. Beast? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. You just got to stay with me for a few. Mr. Beast. So what's wild about that question is this. Depending on your age, you either said, who? Or you said, well, yeah, everyone does. Depends on your age. Mr. Beast, I'm not promoting him. I don't know him. I don't know jack about him except what I've heard randomly from my sons. I just want to be clear about that. But Mr. Beast, he's on YouTube, the social media company YouTube, where they put up videos. Again, younger people are rolling their eyes at this basic explanation. Older folks are saying, well, YouTube, that's where he is. He's on YouTube. He makes videos. Do you know how many people have subscribed? They are subscribers to Mr. Beast. 319 million people. This guy is not only someone who puts up videos on YouTube, 319 million people. Those aren't the only ones who watch it. Those are the ones who are so hardcore, they want to make sure they're subscribed so they watch every episode. That is the population of the United States of America. That's how many he has. By the way, I have a YouTube channel too, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC. That's not the point of our conversation here. 319 million people. Now, I remember this was a few years ago, I would say. My sons were joking around in the backyard. We were all out back. And they were talking something about a beast this, beast that. And I thought they were talking about someone they watched in professional sports or maybe a military hero. And I said, hey, who's Beast? They said, Mr. Beast. And I said, oh, Mr. Beast, who is he? Like a power lifter or something? Let's just assume that name. And then they explained to me, Dad, he's the biggest YouTube guy in the world. Well, I realize I'm not technology driven, but I'd never heard of this human being in my life. I would guess I was 40. 319 million people watch everything he does on YouTube. Times change. That can be hard for those of us getting older to understand and accept. Look, if you're older than me, it's even harder for you. It just depends on your age, really. If you're 20 years old and I say times change, you say, yeah, whatever, I'm good with it. Sounds good. I'm going on Instagram. If you're 40, you're starting to chafe against that. If you're 60 or 70, you probably friggin' hate it, these stupid kids today. But times do change. And the way you do business changes. This is going to come back to Kamala Harris here in just a moment. The way you do things, sometimes it does have to change with the times and with technology. I'm not talking about your value system. Your value system should not change. Right is right, wrong is wrong. This year, next year, a thousand years from now, that will not have changed, but times do change. When it comes to Kamala Harris, when it comes to her campaign, it's a disaster for a laundry list of reasons, and we're going to go into a lot of those. I have a ton of Kamala Harris audio I'm going to play for you. We'll discuss larger concepts like her campaign, communism, other things, but for right now, I want to focus on something a little bit different, probably not anything you've heard today, because Kamala Harris is doing this press tour. That there's a story behind that in and of itself, that she's doing this friendly press tour, but she's doing this press tour. And we're making fun of her. We'll make fun of her tonight. We've made fun of her. She doesn't know anything. She's almost 60 years old. She can't speak. She's lost. All those things. And we'll get back to those things. But there is one part of the press tour that just floored me, blew me away. And it showed me, man, sometimes people have a really hard time changing with the times. This happened today on The View. I want you to listen. May not even stand out to you too much. It's enormous. Here she was today.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
That's it. What was that? 10, 15 seconds? What was the time?
Would you have done?
13
seconds. Would you have
done? 13 seconds is all that took. I had to check the little soundboard. That's why you heard me play it again. 13 seconds. I have clip after clip after clip here. Some long, some short, some lying, some this. That was the one that stood out to me. Why? Sharp campaigns today, they understand campaigns have shrunk, meaning this. I don't mean shrunk geographically. Presidential campaign, still a presidential campaign, got to focus on the swing states. I don't mean geographically. When I say shrunk, society itself has really shrunk, and the politicians who understand that will do better, and the ones who don't will fail. Shrunk as in people's attention span has shrunk. Times change. People watch for less time, I should say. They listen for less time because so much is on demand now. Everything on demand, on your phone, here, this or that. You have to understand we live in an on-demand world and you need to deliver quickly. And you can gain everything with a tiny brief moment, and you can lose everything with a tiny brief moment. Smart political campaigns understand and accept that, and they have embraced it, and they're running with it. Disastrous political campaigns like Kamala Harris's campaign, well, they haven't changed with the times. Chris, you can grab this. I didn't tell you beforehand if you find it. If not, that's fine. Speaking on the good end of what this looks like, Trump spoke in Butler. He went back to Butler, Pennsylvania, and he gave a speech. He gave a rally. Remember, Butler, Pennsylvania is where he almost got his head blown off. And he opened up the speech with, honestly, you know I'm not a butt kisser of any politician, Trump included. He opened up the speech by saying, as I was saying, that's freaking cool. And not only is it cool, do you have it, Chris? Not only is it cool, it's smart. I wasn't even watching live. I was working. I was doing stuff. I've seen it 100 times since he got up and said it.
A very big thank you to Pennsylvania. We love Pennsylvania. And as I was saying...
It's brilliant. Why is it brilliant? I have had that little clip texted to me more times than I can count. It's brilliant because it understands that's 10, 15 seconds of legendary that will get shared because times have changed and everything's on people's phones and computers and iPads. That in and of itself. Now, I bet you it was a 3-4 hour rally. All of his rallies are that long. That is the moment that will live on. That is the moment that we'll march on. That's the moment dudes are sharing with other dudes, even non-political dudes. They're on the construction site. Hey, did you see what Trump said? I was sick. Hey, take a look at this. Look, they're pulling out their iPhones because times have changed. That's the moment that we'll live on. And on the flip side, when it comes to Dome, the person who doesn't understand this, Dome has the challenge of challenges. The American people are unhappy with immigration. They're unhappy with inflation. They're unhappy with the economy. Even people who dislike Donald Trump, they are unhappy with the policies of Democrats. Personally, they still like Joe Biden. I hate his guts. That's not the point. Personally, they like him. But professionally, politically, they despise him. They despise his policies. They're trying to find a reason to separate Kamala Harris from Joe Biden. I understand how dicey this political situation is, but to answer this question like this on The View shows you some people have not changed with the times.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
It is, what time is it? We started at what, 9 o'clock Eastern time? It's 9:10 Eastern, something like that. I don't know. I don't have a clock in front of me. It's all countdown stuff. I'd be willing to bet that right now, as we speak, that the Trump campaign has an ad with that clip on it already bought, maybe already running in battleground states. That's how unbelievably inept and disastrous the Kamala Harris campaign is. Now, let's talk about that in more depth. Why is it so disastrous? Why is it so bad? We'll play a bunch of clips from her interviews. We'll make fun of her. We'll have a good time. We have a great show tonight. Before we do that, you know what I have tonight? I have my parents coming into town. And my mother, who was just the best mom ever, and she's the best grandma ever, just loves those kids, she will show up at the house tonight with presents. But they're not for me. Obviously, I'm past the point of needing or wanting presents. And they're not for the boys either. She's going to show up with gifts for Fred tonight. When family and friends visit from out of town, there's exactly one thing in the house that gets rewarded. Fred. This is what this fluffy idiot has done, not just to our family, to everybody. And we love him. And we want him to be around for a long time getting spoiled with presents from grandma. And that's why we put rough greens on his food. We sprinkle it on every meal so he can live longer. Because without rough greens, Fred never gets nutrition and he dies too early. And that's going to suck. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? Get your dog started. You'll see differences in your dog. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, reminding you, you can email the show and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions. You can leave us a voicemail. No one's going to answer, but we have a voicemail set up. 877-377-4373. Wonderful voicemails, true voicemails like this
Jesse,
one.
Jesse, coming to you from Ohio. First, I love the show. It's fantastic. What, Chris? It's good. My first job, I work all day long. Second job is delivering DoorDashes in the evenings. And your show makes the whole thing entertaining and worth it. Love it. Thanks.
I don't know if there's anything that blesses me more than when you tell me the show helps you get through the day. Whatever you're doing, DoorDash, construction, working around the house, working out, whatever. I love that. That's all we ever wanted. We never try to change the world. It's just a stupid radio show, right? It's not important, but If it makes your day a little better, I will take it. Now back to what we were discussing. Kamala Harris is on a disastrous path right now. Remember, politics, like us, like you, like me, in politics, you can study poll numbers and trends and things like that, but you can really tell where a campaign is by where they spend their time and where they spend their money. Just like you, just like me. And I actually don't like bringing this up to people because I don't always love what that looks like in my own life. You know, it's an old saying. I didn't come up with it, but you can tell where your heart lies. It's where your money is. It's where your time goes. If you spend every single Sunday, it's football season. And I'm not judging you guys. I'm pointing fingers here. I don't watch football anymore. But if you spend every single Sunday this football season watching 9 hours of football but 10 minutes with your kids, it's where your priorities are. With politicians, with politics. You can tell if they're winning. You can tell if they're losing if you pay attention to where they're spending money, what they're spending money on, and where they're spending their time. Let's begin with the idea of a Kamala Harris press campaign on The View, on Howard Stern, on 60 Minutes, on Stephen Colbert. Now, we've had this talk, but it is election day. Did you know that? Today. Not a month from now. Election day is today. Election day is tomorrow and the next day. And every day between now and election is election day because of the prevalence. Hey, Chris, how about that word? What, Chris? Don't be jealous. Because of the prevalence of early voting. So many people vote early now. Election day is now. You are Kamala Harris. You are a Democrat. You're running on the Democrat ticket. Right now, because it's election day, every single waking moment of yours should be spent going after the wishy-washy, middle-of-the-road, independent, the guy who voted for Obama twice, Donald Trump once, then Joe Biden, the guy who has no idea what he believes. Remember that J.D. Harris VP debate? How some people were mad he didn't throw more red meat out there. And we discussed J.D. Vance was talking to 3-4% of the population. The undecided woman who doesn't like Trump, hates his guts, but doesn't really want gas prices to stay high. I'm not sure. That's the only person he should have been focused on. And that's the one he was focused on. If you're Kamala Harris, you're a Democrat. Do you have any idea what the demographics are of people who watch The View? There, it's got to be 90% communist, probably at least. Kamala Harris should have The View audience wrapped up already. That should have been wrapped up. Honestly, the second she became the nominee, Kamala Harris should have been The View's choice. Instead, she's sitting down with The View. Instead, she's sitting down with Howard Stern. Howard Stern used to be insanely talented. Then he got too old, too rich, too lame. I've never been a Howard Stern guy. It's just not my type of thing. But I acknowledge the talent and the size of it. But now he's old, washed up, lame, and pathetic. And all his audience, hardcore lefties too. 60 Minutes. Everyone remembers the 60 Minutes interview where they screwed Donald Trump over as hard as humanly possible by lying through their teeth. Why is Kamala Harris on election day, 1 month before the official election day, why is she spending any time at all, let alone 2-3 days with completely friendly media and an audience that should already be in her corner? Why is she doing that? Well, whatever your polls say or my polls say or your feeling is or what your sister said or how your dog feels about the election, there's only one reason Kamala Harris would be doing that. They think they're losing. In fact, they think they've lost people they should be banking on right now. And wait, it gets even worse. Not only did she do it, she did it bad. Badly? I don't know. I went to community college. She didn't do well. But Chris, you just have to word things differently when you can't speak. I'm trying to teach you. Anyway, go sign up for Tunnel to Towers. Sign up to give to Tunnel to Towers. We'll come back to the Kamala Harris stuff in a moment. $11 a month. I'm not going to insult you and say it's nothing. $11 is something. Any more about what a value meal at a fast food restaurant would cost, but it's a meal, it's something. But the Gold Star families, the fallen first responder families, the catastrophically injured veterans, they need something too. And to be frank, they deserve something. We can never fully repay what these families have given up, but we can try. Tunnel to Towers is out there paying off their mortgages, building them smart homes for the veteran who doesn't have legs anymore. Your $11 a month goes to the widows and orphans and veterans we owe a huge debt to. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. More Dome next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, talking about Dome's press tour, talking about, in case you're just now joining us, how they haven't changed with the times. She dropped a soundbite out there that I guarantee you Team Trump is already putting into an ad that's going to run across the swing states.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
Yeah, that's going to be played a lot. People are unhappy with the current situation. She's done the best she can to try to separate herself from that, but not separate, but kind of separate, but try to separate. That little soundbite's going to come back to bite her. So we were talking about that. And then we're talking about the state of desperation her campaign clearly is in, because they signed her up a month before the election, 28 days before the election, for a friendly press tour. And so before we start playing the clips, which I swear I'm going to get to in just a moment, just understand, and that we had a similar conversation to this when they had Joe Biden as their nominee or as their likely nominee, when he couldn't talk, he couldn't think. Do you know anything about racing? The NASCAR or IndyCar or something, and I don't know anything about racing, so all my racing guys, don't email in asking me technical questions I don't know the answer to. But obviously I know a very, very little bit. I've watched some NASCAR racing. Well, what's a racing team? Why do they call it a racing team? Well, it's more than just the driver. The driver's very, very important, but there's a huge team around them. You have guys that work on the car. You have promotional staff. You have people who work on the sales department of a team. Who's going to be our newest advertiser? Should we go for M&M's? Let's get Nike this time. There are so many people who work on a racing team. So Dale Earnhardt Jr., or let's make it about Senior, God rest his soul. Dale Earnhardt Senior. Yeah, he's the one you remember. He's the one you still have your autograph for. He's the one you have a poster up about. But there were a ton of people around Dale Earnhardt Sr. And when it comes to racing, all those other people do matter, and they can make a huge difference. How fast is your pit crew? Who's working on your car? The sales part matters a lot. Did you get a great new sponsor, or are they a crappy flake who's going to leave it up? But did you? Every part of it does matter. Just like political campaigns, every single part of a race team, of Dale Earnhardt's team, does matter, is important, can make a difference. However, this is the disclaimer that matters for our purposes here. You can have the best sales team, the best pit crew, the best car, the best manager, the best this, the best that, the driver himself. If he can't drive, it doesn't matter. In the end, all those things can help, and all those things can make the difference in you winning a race or losing a race. They are important. I'm not dismissive of the guy who's changing tires, but the guy who's changing tires can be the greatest who's ever changed a tire in the history of mankind. If Dale Earnhardt doesn't know how to drive, it's all for naught. The Kamala Harris campaign is a billion-dollar juggernaut Fortune 500 company, a temporary Fortune 500 company. That's what I call presidential campaigns, because that's what they are. You're bringing in that kind of money, that much staff, that much capital flowing through your hands. You're a Fortune 500 company. She is the CEO of said Fortune 500 company. And they can have, and they do have, because they're Democrats, the best staffers in the world, great boardroom, master strategists, the highest paid this, the highest paid that, our commercial guys, the best, we're hiring this. But you got to be able to sit down as a candidate once the tires have been changed and you got a new engine, you still got to go drive. And this ain't going to work.
Okay, so the other economists that have reviewed my plan versus my opponent and determined that my economic plan would strengthen America's economy, his would weaken it. But my plan, Bill, if you don't mind, my plan is about saying that when you invest in small businesses, you invest in the middle class, and you strengthen America's economy. Small businesses are part of the backbone of America's economy.
But pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
Well, one of the things is I'm going to make sure that the richest among us who can afford it pay their fair share in taxes. It is not right that teachers and nurses and firefighters are paying a higher tax rate than billionaires and the biggest corporations.
I'll just pause for a moment because she goes on for another minute and I will play it. That's obviously a lie. Teachers and firefighters paying higher tax rates than wealthy people. That's ridiculous. The top 1% pays something like 40% of the taxes. That's not true at all. Just remember, this will be something I bring up a lot, probably not just on this show, but on really every show I do, many shows I'll do from now on. All of communism, all their actions are about destruction. All of their communication is about either concealing that destruction or trying to weaken your response to it, trying to do whatever they can do to kind of make sure you don't oppose them too hard. That's all of communism. This is just flat out lie. You know, they're out to destroy. They're destroying the economy. When you're asked about tax rates, you simply act like it's about the evil rich guy and he's taxed more than the firefighter. That's, of course, a lie by any measure. But again, you're a communist. You're trying to destroy and you have to lie about it.
I plan on making that fair.
But we're dealing with the real world here.
But the real world includes.
How are you going to get this through Congress?
You know, when you talk quietly with a lot of folks in Congress, they know exactly what I'm talking about because their constituents know exactly what I'm talking about. Their constituents are those firefighters and teachers and nurses. Their constituents are middle-class, hardworking folk.
And Congress has shown no inclination to move in your direction.
I disagree with you. There are plenty of leaders in Congress who understand and know that the Trump tax cuts blew up our federal deficit. None of us, and certainly I cannot afford to be myopic in terms of how I think about strengthening America's economy.
Yeah. She can't do it. She's so hurting with her base that they lined up for her a friendly press tour. Remember, people are giving 60 Minutes credit because he's asking some follow-up questions and some direct questions. This isn't even the bare minimum of journalism. We're just so used to American communists being in the media that anytime someone asks a basic follow-up question, we act like, wow, that guy did a great job. He didn't do a great job. This is not even the bare minimum for a journalist. She's just so bad. She's so lost. She can't do it. We got the race team. They're changing the tires. The management looks great. The driver can't drive.
You have to go through the primary process. You didn't have to fight off other contenders. That's not really the way our system was intended to work.
President Biden made a decision that I think history is going to show is rare among leaders, which was to put country before self. And I am proud to have earned the support of the vast majority of delegates and to have been elected the Democratic nominee. I am proud to have received the endorsement of leaders around this country from every background and walk of life to fight in this election over the next month for our democracy.
But I think this truncated process is why people think or say they don't really know who you are.
Look, I've been in this race for 70 days.
Yeah. Oh, we're not done. There's more. And we have to get into the death of everything and again, how this can happen. How could someone get here? We'll talk about that next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'll get to a bunch of those emails. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Also, I should have told you this at the beginning of the show, but I'm irresponsible and forgetful. We'll get back to Kamala Harris in a moment. Tomorrow, we try to make every show good. Obviously, every show isn't good. Sometimes I'm an idiot. We try to make every show good. Tomorrow is probably one you're going to really, really enjoy. We have a special one planned, I should say, for you. Tomorrow might be worth your time. All right? So remember, if you miss tomorrow's or today's or any other show, download a podcast of it. It's all free. iHeart and Spotify and iTunes. Back to Kamala Harris. They launched her on this friendly media tour. You're doing 60 Minutes. You're doing The View. And remember, it is a friendly media tour. Even 60 Minutes. The guy's getting credit for asking follow-up questions. Did you hear her actual answer when she was asked about Israel? I'm going to play you two different answers. This was courtesy of Mays, who actually tracked this down. Mays Moore. This was the answer she gave.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
I have no idea what she said. You don't have any idea what she said. This is what 60 Minutes, because they got a bunch of blowback for that response they initially put up, this is how they edited it. Don't tell me this wasn't a friendly interview.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
Oh, okay. Gosh. Speaking of which, did you give it IFCJ yet? Look, again, like in so many areas, we can't bank on the government to help. Government doesn't help, especially not our government anymore. They hurt. Whatever they do, they hurt. They hurt this, they hurt that. If you have a heart to help the people of Israel who've got rockets raining down on them, if you want to help provide emergency food and bomb shelters and stuff like that, don't be banking on the government. IFCJ is the one doing it. They're on the ground doing it. You want to help? Give to IFCJ. Bulletproof ambulances that saved lives a year ago on October 7th, those got there because of the IFCJ. The bomb shelters, the IFCJ. It's you. It's me. 888-488-IFCJ is where you give. Or you can go online to supportifcj.org. All right? Go. Give. Back to Dome. Again, it doesn't matter how good a team you have in politics, your candidate, it needs to be good enough. This kind of stuff, as people are suffering, is not good enough. I'm just dumbfounded. Somebody of her age and someone who's risen to the level of vice president can be this bad at
groceries
something.
Groceries are 25% higher, and people are blaming you and Joe Biden for that. Are they wrong?
We now have historic low unemployment in America among all groups of people. We now have an economy that is thriving by all macroeconomic measures. And to your point, prices are still too high. And I know that, and we need to deal with it, which is why part of my plan, you mentioned groceries, part of my plan is what we must do to bring down the price of groceries.
She's so bad. And the flip-flopping. It's not even that I'm going to kill her for the flip-flopping. Politicians flip-flop. They do. They say one thing one day, and they'll say something else the next day. And they generally try to massage it in such a way that it sounds okay. But how can she not be ready for this question and have a different, better answer than this?
Okay, the reason so many voters don't know you is that you have changed your position on so many things. You were against fracking, now you're for it. You supported looser immigration policies, now you're tightening them up. You were for Medicare for all, now you're not. So many that people don't truly know what you believe or what you stand for, and I know you've heard that.
In the last 4 years, I have been vice president of the United States, and I have been traveling our country, and I have been listening to folks and seeking what is possible in terms of common ground. I believe in building consensus. We are a diverse people, geographically, regionally, in terms of where we are in our backgrounds. And what the American people do want is that we have leaders who can build consensus, where we can figure out compromise and understand it's not a bad thing, as long as you don't compromise your values, to find common sense solutions. And that has been my approach.
She's really bad at politics. And they are in trouble. I'm always very frank with you when I have dark thoughts about what's coming. I've been honest with you about where I think we are as a country. I've been honest about really everything. I just tell you how I feel at any given moment, what I see, how I feel. And I'm not here to just tell you everything in the future is going to be sunshine and rainbows and we're all going to be saved. I'm not saying that to you. As I look at things right now and as I look at what's happening with the Kamala Harris campaign, I don't understand a path to victory for them. I don't see one. I talked to somebody today, Sean Spicer. You know Sean Spicer? We've had him on the show. He was Trump's guy, Sean Spicer. He said something to me. He said he thinks Donald Trump wins all the Rust Belt states. I laughed in his friggin' face. That's Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I said, okay, come on. But he doesn't, even though he's a hardcore Trump guy, he's not necessarily a Trump pajama wearer. He will be honest. He's been honest on this show when he thinks Trump failed at something. He won't say it exactly as rudely as I say it, but he'll be honest about that. And I said, Sean, come on. But Sean doesn't just throw out these predictions out of nowhere. Sean is a huge data guy, follows trends, demographics, what's trending this way, what's trending that way. And I couldn't believe he said it. And he said, no, let me explain. And he explained it. I still don't know if I would go that far. That's quite a prediction. But the disaster that is her campaign, the people she's losing, the people who should be hers, she can't all the way get, like the Teamsters Union. Teamsters Union came out again and said, we're not endorsing anybody. People she should bank on aren't in her corner. People she's fighting for are people she should have already had. The people she can't afford to lose too many of, she's losing. Outside of, obviously, the margin of cheating, I just am getting extremely hopeful about November. Now, I want to set this stuff aside. We have more Dome stuff that I am going to play for a different reason, though. Let's discuss again, in kind of a different way, how could somebody so inept rise to that level of power? In fact, how has that happened so many places in our society? There's a fascinating email here. We'll dig into that next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.